Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, Patty. And a update about Mardi Gras royalty from WWL-TV's Leslie Spoon.
Singer-songwriter Robin Thicke will reign as Bacchus 52 when the parade rolls on February 23rd. Thicke rose to international fame in 2014 with the number one song, Blurred Lines. He's also written and produced for some of the biggest names in music, including Usher, Lil Wayne, Christina Aguilera, and others.
Bacchus rolls Sunday, February 23rd.
I'm going to go get my spot now.
Yeah, go set up your ladders and your tarp and your chairs and everything.
I am making a vow right now not to taste, no matter how small a portion, any king cake.
Until Monday?
This year. No, at all. Because I can't. Because I thought about going and get one this weekend, and I thought, you know what? How's that going to end up? It's going to end up with me eating it. And then you eat, the more you got to work to get it off. So you might be able to find some king cakes around this weekend because bakeries are already producing them. Although they say I think it's bad luck to get one or to eat one before January 6th.
I don't know, bad luck or just bad form. It's a little tacky.
What's going to be bad?
Because we're very concerned about Mardi Gras being too tacky.
Yeah, it's going to be very bad form when you try to put your pants on.
Yes.
That's where the problem
comes
in.
That'll also be tacky.
Yep. Steve Court joins us, our friend, former Saints offensive lineman, co-hosts of Fans First Take. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Fine, and you?
Fine, thank you.
You know, we talk about revenge and what happened, you know, the Minnesota missed tackle is how I refer to it. Does any of that have anything to do with what's going to transpire on Sunday?
No,
yeah.
No, it's completely different circumstances. There's different players. We've moved on from that. You have to have sort of a short memory with those types of things. And if you don't, it's worse than if you don't, than if you do. So yeah, no, those things are forgotten.
The other thing I thought of is Marcus Williams. Look, every player makes mistakes all the time. His was just magnified at a terrible time, right? I mean, you can look at offensive linemen. You can go back, look at the tape. God knows how many chances you had to win the game, so you can't put it on one guy. But with that being said, you got him as late in the game. The Vikings are driving to get a touchdown. Are you keeping him in at safety, or are you thinking, you know what, maybe we'll overthink this, or he'll overthink it, or what do you do? What would you do in that case, Steve?
No, I would let Marcus Williams go do his thing. He's not going to make that same mistake. You know, there's just no way. I mean, there's those types of things that's in your brain forever. You realize now, hey, this sort of looks like that same spectacle last time. You know, I'm going to make sure I grab this guy this time by his legs and throw him on the ground.
If anything, he may like the opportunity to make amends.
I would think so. I would think so, yeah.
So as it relates to, before we get to X's and O's here, as it relates to players, we have a discussion here in the office with the boss about whether you like tight games or whether you like blowouts. And honestly, the Carolina game was pretty boring. The LSU game was pretty boring. But you knew that they won. And when it comes to, I guess especially in the case of LSU being in the playoffs, as a player, would you generally players like to put the team away as early as possible? It would seem to me that you would, and you don't want a lot of drama at the end of the game. Or am I wrong?
No, you're spot on. No, you want to bury that team as quickly as possible, and you can see it in their eyes, and you know when they've they're still fighting like crazy, but you can tell that they know that this game is out of touch. You can tell.
For example, last week, it seems to me everybody, other than the TV networks with the commercials, was everybody was ready to fold the tent. I don't think the Panthers wanted any more. I think the Saints were ready to move on. I think the fans were bored. I know damn well Carolina was ready to move on. Do you get a sense in those games between the players themselves where, okay, we both know this is over. You're not going to exactly brother-in-law it, but it's not the playoffs either?
No. You're still playing the game as hard as you play it. Look, your resume is on tape.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't ever want to put out bad tape. That's just one thing you don't ever want to do as a player. And at the same time, there's a certain respect that you give this game by the way you play and the intensity that you play with. And if you do anything less than what you should at 100%, then you really you've disrespected the game. And I don't think the players are going to do that. You play to the very end of the game. And look, I knew, you know, that past week that, look, it was at one point it was 14-0, but I never felt like, yeah, we're out of the game here. Mm-hmm. I never felt like that. I felt like, well, we got this. We're going to be okay. We're playing too well, and once we get things sort of rectified and slowed down a little bit, we'll be okay. And we were. I just felt like we were in control of that game at all points and really never were out of it.
Somebody texted in here, and I think it is a wry text. Super Bowl with Patriots and Falcons 28-3. Was that boring?
No, you're right. That was not boring. That was something fun to watch because you could see it happening, and there's nothing anybody in the world could do about it. And you could see that they were – Arthur Blank was dancing on the sidelines, and then all of a sudden he looked like he had he had crapped in his hat. I mean, yeah. It was bad. It was awful.
One to crap in, another one to cover it up. Whoever texted that in, well played, madam or sir, well played indeed. So when it comes to Kirk Cousins, let's talk about him, history against the Saints, big games, et cetera.
Well, look, he's played pretty well against us. That's no question, man. Look, he's a gamer. He's a heck of a quarterback, and he brings it. And he's got some good tools around. Look, Thielen and Diggs, he's got some great wideouts. There's no question about it. But you know, Rudolph, the tight end, is a guy that creates mismatch problems for us. You know, he's always been sort of a thorn in our side from time to time. But Tommy, the guy that we have to stop this week is Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really is the guy. If we stop him, then all that other stuff is really kind of elementary at that point, because they're not going to get the looks that they need, not with our defensive pressure and the things that we do in our secondary to make these long plays. Because if we hem up Dalvin Cook, he's a great running back at this point. And it really is, when he's healthy, he can hurt you bad. And so he's the guy that we first and foremost have to fix.
When it comes to like Latavius Murray going up against his own team, his old team, you know, it seemed to me he's got all the motivation he needs now with the Saints, playoff games, et cetera. But does a player get a little even more amped up when he's going against his old team?
Oh, sure. There's always a little extra juice there that you feel like, you know, you guys let me go, and this is my time to show you that you made a big mistake. that happens all the time. And you can tell players are excited to play against their old team.
Human nature, I guess. When it comes to, and we were talking to Mike Dettelier about this earlier, in terms of running backs and carries, and I know, and you've played with running backs, so you know, and having blocked for him, it seems like Latavius Murray, if you're going to give him 8 carries in the game, you'd want to give them to him almost consecutively or on the same drive as opposed to a quarter. Does that make sense to you or not?
Well, yeah, because what happens is a running back is a little bit different from the standpoint that they get into a rhythm. And it all depends upon, you know, obviously how the offensive line is blocking their defensive front. And in doing so, the timing that comes off of that is different for each and every game. So the more handles he gets, then he's going to be able to sort of get into a rhythm as to how things are falling for him. And then a lot of times those guys that are those instinctive runners like that begin to really sort of capitalize on the more carries that they get. Yeah.
So why do we all look at the TV, sit in the press box, what have you, And Latavius Murray seems to have two good carries that we don't see him for a long time, because that's interesting what you said, that the offensive line gets in a rhythm as well, right, with the same back?
Well,
is that what you're telling me, or did I hear that wrong?
No, with it doesn't really matter who I'm blocking for. In other words, I'm blocking the guys in front of me, and that's the only thing I can control is kind of what they're giving me and what they're, you know, what the defensive front is, and then, you know, how we're schemed up to block them, and then, you know, us pulling it off as far as offensive linemen. But you notice some things when a guy hits a hole a little faster or something like that, or, you know, if there's some, plays that he's better at than others, that you know that. But at the same time, you block those defensive fronts the same as you would no matter what.
So the rhythm comes in.
The rhythm comes in
with running play after running play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And the more you run as an offensive line, that just tells you a couple of things. First of all, you're ramming it down their throat, and you're winning on first and second down, because if you don't, and then if you're trying to run on third down and it's third and long all the time, you know, your chances of continuing that drive are slim. So that's when you get in the passing situations. But if we don't, you know, if you're trying to run the football as best you can, then you need to win on first and second down.
All right, Steve, hang on if you will, please. Steve Cord, our guest, former Saints offensive lineman, co-host of Fans First Take. Always interesting what he has to say. If you have any questions or comments, text him to 87870. I'll pass them along. Somebody wants to know and keeps texting in about Latavius Murray, Teddy Bridgewater, Nick Easton, and Zach Line, what kind of information they can provide to the Saints about their former team. Coming back, WWL. More with Steve Cord in a second, but, you know, I think it was Bobby Hebert who once said, "It means it's time to call in and win. Black and gold taking on Minnesota. I got a pair of passes for you to the VIP tailgate experience at Benson Tower from Bullseye Event Group, and two tickets so you can be in that number for that playoff game. Right now, caller 8 is going to win if you call 260-WINS, 260-WINS. But please don't even try to win these tickets if you cannot pick them up today, I would say by 4 o'clock. Because you don't want to take these tickets and then not use them, and somebody could have gone and doesn't. Steve Cord, back to you. All right, thank you, Bobby. Steve Cord, back to you. I'm trying to remember the chronology of this. You did play with Bobby, right? He was the quarterback in the center? Yeah. Anything he said in the huddle that ever just stood out to you where it's like, well, that's interesting? In the course of a game?
He'd say, "I love football."
Is that right? Well, that's good. Every play to get everybody juiced
play.
Up, right?
Every play. Yeah, exactly.
You know, when it comes to Adam Thielen, when it comes to Dalvin Cook, I know these guys have been injured. It's going to be the first time they're on the field together. Last time they were on the field together for a full game was, I think, week 7 or 6 against Philadelphia. During the playoffs, you want to have everybody on the field, but when an injured player comes back, is there a chance that they try to go and just can't? Is that a common thing that happens with injured players or not?
I guess it depends on the injury, but usually they're pretty good at, as a player and both as a training staff. You don't want to get the guy to get hurt or make the injury worse by doing something, or can hurt himself even worse. But a lot of times, players will push themselves through that certain amount of pain to play, especially in a playoff game. But at the same time, if you can't go and you're going to end up hurting your team, then you have to be smart enough too to say, "Look, I've got to bail out on this, because if I don't, me being in there is not going to help anything. It's going to hurt."
And plus, I guess in terms of game plan and reps and everything else, you don't have a game plan built around you or take all the reps in practice if you're going to play 3 plays and you're done.
No, you know pretty much during the week, when you get your pitch count there, as far as the amount of plays that you're going to get, for inside drill and then, passing, in the passing game practices and then the goal line practices, stuff like that. You're getting the majority of the snaps. Well, then that means you're going to get majority of the game snaps, sure, or all of them.
Sean Payton has forgotten more than I will ever begin to even realize. But along those lines, Do you shake your head sometimes when you see Latavius Murray, to get back to that for a second? You know, he'll break a 7-yard run, then he breaks a 9-yard run, then we don't see him. I don't understand what the thought process is there. Do you?
No, I don't. First thing I don't is I've been around Sean Payton long enough and been, you know, within practices with things with him. I don't second guess him. Now, I may wonder why he's doing something, but I don't really second guess it from the standpoint of he's obviously got a game plan, you know, as to what he wants to do and a scripter that he wants to follow and or guys that he wants to, you know, certain plays that he feels like he wants to enact without, you know, being second guessed on who's going to do it. So, you know, there's times that I wish that, you know, like I'm an offensive lineman, so I wish they'd run the ball more all the time. Mm-hmm. But, and so I get maybe sometimes a little bit frustrated when they kind of break away from, you know, they're starting to really, you know, hit some people hard with the run, and then they kind of begin to you know, to wane off that. But look, that's just my own personal preference there, but I don't second guess Sean on that.
And that's why I started, Steve, by saying he's forgotten more than I will ever even begin to realize, let much less know about the game. But it just, I think as fans, we do wonder sometimes, but I guess there's a bigger plan that we don't realize. So when it comes to Latavius Murray, Teddy Bridgewater, let me, again, take a second here. Man, this guy deserves all the credit in the world for saving this season.
Yeah, he sure does. He came in and really stepped in, and yeah, it was, of course, there's a drop-off, you know, but at the same time, there's he played winning football. And that's all you can ask for. He played winning football and did not get us beat, and was good enough to win those five games, and did it in such a good in a good way. Yeah,
I know it might be over the top to say MVP of the season, but without him, man, I don't know what we're doing today. So Latavius Murray, Teddy Bridgewater, Nick Easton, Zach Line, formerly of the Vikings, is there a lot of interest? Because, you know, sometimes they'll sign a free agent, right, for a week to pick his brain and then cut him. Is there anything these four can contribute time-wise? Do schemes change, et cetera?
Yeah, schemes change, personnel changes, everything changes. I'm not sure there's anybody there other than maybe Bridgewater that can give them some ideas on, you know, some of the things they're doing as far as, you know, Teddy might be able to say, look, I know that defensively, you know, they do this. But look, Sean Payton and Pete Carmichael, those guys all know – they know that too. You know, that this is there's no secret there. They know just as much about it as Teddy does. So there's really nothing that they can pick from a player that could be something that they could say, oh, you know, we've got, you know, a key from them because we talked to Nick Easton or something like that, and this is what they do. No, the defensive coaches know that. You know, I mean, you know, you look at somebody like, you know, offensively, like say, like a Dennis Allen would look at the offense, and he would say, oh, you know, there's certain things that we might be able to do, this, that, and the other. He knows that infinitely well than really the player that's coming over there.
So when it comes to the way the game is going to unfold, et cetera, who do you think we will be talking about on Monday in terms of big contributors and helping the Saints win the game, et cetera?
Well, I hope we'll be talking about our defense as shutting down Dalvin Cook. That would be the thing first and foremost that I would think. And then second of all, I would hope that, again, we're talking about defense and maybe some of the turnovers that turned into 6 points. And then really offensively, if it was just sort of the same old Saints offense, that's pretty good.
So close game. Not so much.
I think it'll be a close game, but I don't think it's going to be a nail biter. I think it's going to be I think we'll win by more than 10 points.
Man, I hope we get to put our feet up at halftime.
Yeah, I
hate those last minute games. Thank you, Steve. Anything else you wanted to throw in while we got you?
No. Pleasure's all mine. Go Saints.
As always, we'll talk to you again on Monday, I'm sure. Let's congratulate Mark Brooks. Mark was caller number 8, and as a result, he won a pair of tickets to the playoff game this weekend and a pair of passes to the VIP tailgate experience in Benson Tower from Bullseye Event Group. Now, congratulations to Mark Brooks. You got to pick those tickets up today. Keep in mind that Newell Norman will have the same prize for you sometime between 10 and 1 today. That's your last chance to win. But again, please remember, you got to pick those tickets up today. And if not, then let somebody else win them and you win something else. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll have Tommy's Weekend Winners with JR here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.